This is the For Life and Godliness podcast.
Everywhere we look, there are enticements to temptation. More specifically, in our culture, which has become over-sexualized, the enticements are intended to draw you to sexual immorality. We can just look at television. There are things on television now that were never allowed 20 or so years ago. It's almost impossible to log into social media without seeing someone showing off a little too much. And it's becoming normalized for both men and women to create accounts on certain platforms for the sole purpose of prostituting themselves through the selling of pictures and videos in order to make some extra money. Things which were once considered taboo are now being flaunted without shame. But even more concerning, we are continuing to see growing numbers of men and women within the church falling prey to sexual immorality. There are sexual abuse cases in the church. Adultery, even among pastors, is present. And of course, the growing number of those who engage in pornography. But it doesn't stop there. Cohabitation is on the rise as well. That's boyfriends and girlfriends living together outside of marriage, and a blind eye is turned by the leaders in the church. And this is devastating because we're told in Ephesians 5:3 that sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among the saints. And yet this sin is almost never mentioned in churches. There is nothing more destructive than to fall into the grips of sexual immorality. There are sins that we are to turn from, and then there are sins that we are to flee from. And sexual immorality, in all of its forms, is not just to be turned from, but we are to run as fast as we can away from it. Paul, he tells us as much in 1 Corinthians 6:18. He says, flee from sexual immorality. But he also tells us why we must do this. Because every other sin that a person commits is outside of the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. So not only is this sin against God, but it is directly sinning against us as well. And it is sinning against what God has created our bodies for. But Paul, he continues to say that our bodies, they're not our own. They were purchased with a price, that price being the death of Christ. And so we are to glorify God with our bodies. Jesus gave his life in order that we in our bodies would be joined and united to God. And yet, when we seek to defile our body through the participation of what is sexually immoral, we are directly telling Christ that we do not care about the price that he paid. In fact, many will presume upon the grace and upon the mercies of the Lord and engage in wicked acts, and then in an attempt to clear their conscience, they will look back at the cross and say, it's okay, he died for it. How quickly the seeking of momentary pleasure can distort our view of Christ. And this temptation is different from all the others. When we spot this temptation, we don't flee from it as we're commanded to do. Instead, what's often the case is we run toward it. And in seeking after it, should we not receive worse than Lot's wife? She, with a covetous heart, only glanced back. And she glanced back for a moment just to see the destruction of impurity. What do we deserve when we run toward it deliberately? all while pleading with God for him to withhold us from temptation. You are to seek purity in your life. And of course, the question that follows is, how do we seek purity in an age of impurity? How do we stand for purity? Well, allow me to put before you Psalm 119, verse 9. The psalmist, he says, "How can a man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word." So we guard our way, we guard our Christian walk in life according to the scriptures. What God has commanded and what God expects his people to do, we are to live out. He expects us to live a certain way. So scripture, it puts before us the manner in which the believer is to live in pursuing holiness. But in holding to the scriptures, there are some other practical ways that we can guard our path. So when we read, after we read, we can engage in meditation. Now, meditation is not simply thinking about or considering what the scriptures say. Rather, it is being intentional in seeking how we may apply what the scriptures say. So it's not just thinking about what they say, it's saying, how do we apply this in our life? And from meditation, we can move into prayer. That is the sweet time of communion with the Lord, where we then lay ourselves bare before him. But we must also seek to mortify this sin. We must actively be seeking to put it to death if it flares up in our life. We must be killing it. And as the Puritan John Owen has famously said, we must kill sin or it will be killing you. And when we seek to be anchored by the scriptures, when we meditate upon what we have read, and when we have communed with our Lord, this will equip us to guard the eyes, guard the mind, and guard the heart, which will then restrain the actions. So guarding the eyes. Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Job 31:1, I have made a covenant with my eyes. We must be very careful what we allow to pass before our eyes. Now, granted, we cannot just walk around with our eyes closed or blindfolded. However, that does not give us the excuse to intentionally linger a little longer than we should. We must guard our mind. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your mind on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. 2 Corinthians 10, take every thought captive. That means every thought that comes into our mind, we should be bringing into subjection under the word of God. Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This speaks right to the issue in an over-sexualized culture. In this culture, it does everything that it can to get us to tolerate it, accept it, celebrate it, until we ultimately desire to participate in it. We must not be pressed into the mold of the world. We must turn and we must focus our minds and our thoughts on the things of God. And then in doing that, we must keep in sight Christ and all his beauties and his majesty. And then we guard the heart. And when I say guard the heart, I'm really focusing on the desire of the flesh. And we're told that we need to crucify our flesh. Galatians 5:24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. We're not even to put ourselves in places and in positions where our flesh has an opportunity to gratify itself. But seeking to do these things, guarding the heart, guarding the mind, guarding the eyes, it will lead us to the restraining of the actions. And that's actually just the pursuit of holiness. And that's the will of God for us. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 5. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you may abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, and not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Do you want to accomplish the will of God for your life? Then abstain from sexual immorality. Pursue purity. Fight for holiness in your life. The real question is, do you even want those things? Are those even desires for you? Or do you just not want to go to hell? Because we can go over to Romans 1 and 1 Corinthians 6 and discuss how the sexually immoral will not enter the kingdom of God. Oh, that we would seek to put the flesh to death, that our desires would be fixated upon the gloriousness of God who saved us rather than on the defilements of the world that lead to destruction. Believer, we must stand against sexual immorality by standing for holiness and fighting for purity. Keep your way guarded according to the word, meditation, and prayer. Lean upon God and fight with the power of the Holy Spirit that is living inside of you. Guard your eyes, guard your mind, and guard your heart in order to restrain your actions and pursue purity in holiness.
For Life and Godliness is a production of Servants of Grace. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, let us know by leaving a review. We'd love to hear from you.